the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio. All right, everybody. Let's see. How should we do this? How does the stinger go? Wait a minute. Is that Surfer we got on?
Yes.
There's static coming from your end.
Let me
see here. Hold on. See, you got to bear with us, folks. We're doing this naked tonight. We're doing some naked rant audio tonight because we've got no drops. We've got no nothing tonight. We just are bare bones here. Hold on. The rant live. Okay. I have to manually enter what's on the scroll. Anyways, how should we do this? Let me see. How does the ID go? Dun, dun, dun. Hold on. I gotta think about it. How does the ID go at the start of the show? Dun dun dun.
Okay. The things you love, this you crave.
Something like that. Okay. This is Rant EM Radio. Okay. And here's the music. Da 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 da. Okay, Tuesday night, May 16th, 2017, episode 501 of The Rant is officially live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media at rantemradio.com. Tune in radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Facebook, The Roku, Geek Life, no, not Geek Life Radio, excuse me. We're not there anymore. Google Play, Tumblr, and YouTube. That's right. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C. Okay. And being joined by the Impact player, Mr. Philip J. Ray. He says it's G, but I don't believe him.
Lies. What's up?
And we've also got the Silver One himself.
Good evening.
That's well north of silver, because he's in the golden phase. Well, here we are.
Hope to hit platinum, too.
You'll hit platinum at some point. It's going to take another, what, 25 years?
Well, then diamond, at least diamond, then.
Diamond?
Whatever over 100 is.
I think diamond is 90. I think. Not sure. But anyways. We are live. And it's been a very interesting week, to say the very least. Tony C., if you're listening, try calling in on the bat line, because for some reason, you didn't come up with the phone number. So try that way. Anyways, so I guess we need to start with, why is this episode naked? We've got no drops. We've got no music. We've got no intro. No outro.
It is no trolls at all.
Nothing. It is just us talking today on a microphone. Thank God we're able to broadcast. So let me explain what happened. So we did the show on Tuesday night. Everything seemed fine. Came home on Wednesday. Everything seemed fine. Let's see if this works. Is that Tony C? Is that Tony C? Tony C? Who is this calling in 40407? It has to be Tony C. 407. I want to make sure that that's Tony C. Yeah, that's Tony C. Tony C, call in on Skype. Obviously, something's not working here. Or you're not working. I don't know. Anyways. So, Wednesday, everything sounded fine. And there we got a little bit of static. Everything sounded fine. Everything worked fine on Wednesday. And I paid some bills at around 12 o'clock Wednesday night. Did some bill pay. Did a little this. Did a little that. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to turn off the computer. I didn't turn off the computer, though. I left it on. I went to bed. Whatever. Woke up Thursday morning. The computer was fine. Went to work, came home, my screen is blue. I start finagling the PC and this and that, and it looks like my hard drive died. Which means I had to go in spring for a brand new computer. And in the meantime, until we get all the settings and everything, you know, how I had them on the old computer, I also have no drops. I have no audio files. I don't have anything because everything is on the old hard drive.
Question.
It housed the entire network archive in terms of all the episodes of The Rant, all of our graphics, all the musical beds, the wrestling music, the general music, pictures, this and that. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000 files are housed in that computer right now. What's your question, Silver?
So, not the show files, but the drops. How much space did that take? Because you don't have it backed up anywhere.
It didn't take up that much space, no, and I didn't have it backed up. I made a silly mistake in not having things backed up. But besides, the drops only total about 100 files. They don't total that many.
You should keep them on a flash drive or something.
Okay, server. I'm more concerned about everything else than the drops.
No, I understand that.
Because, you know, the drops, you know, I could replace, but everything else, it's going to be difficult to replace any of that stuff if I can't get it off the hard drive. Now, I was talking to Shining Wizards Tony earlier today via Facebook, and he said something similar happened to him a few years ago, and I said, listen, if I can't get those files off the computer, I'm actually going to cry. And he says, I did the same thing. So, I'm not the only one that's going through this drama, or have been through this drama. It's very sad, you know. But here we are. We have Phil here. We have Surfer here. I don't know where the hell Tony C is. Tony C, text me. If you're having problems, text me. Because I know you're listening. That's your phone number you're calling in on. Anyways, that's why the show is naked tonight. So you're not going to hear drops. You're not going to hear this. You're not going to hear that. We're going to try to make do. Let's go around the room and see what's going on in everybody's personal lives. With that, we say hello to the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rayo, who got out of the hospital this past Thursday.
I'm sorry, you broke up. What was that?
You just got out of the clink this past Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I've been on the mend, they say. Yeah, I spent, like, the last 3 weeks, I spent a little over 2 weeks, two hospital stays. It's been a rough ordeal, but feeling a lot better.
That's good.
It's a process. This thing really took me for a loop. I haven't been at work in almost a month. I'm hoping to get cleared by tomorrow. I have to follow up with the docs. And the pain I endured, I don't wish it on people I don't even like. So.
Right.
It was an infection that turned into like cellulitis in the leg. I couldn't even walk on it. It was just a bad deal. But now I'm getting better. It's healing. I'm still sore, but at least I have my leg back, which is good. So
that's good. I mean, if you don't have your leg, you can't do shit.
No, yeah, it was basically just walking around was painful, and I had to get IV antibiotics for like 2 weeks straight almost, and then I'm still on antibiotics. Like, it's just wreaking havoc on my intestines, and I'm just like, you know, I've never had this much medication in my entire life.
You're just trying to copy Surfer's gimmick.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't keep up, though. I don't think I can keep up. It's just a rough deal, man. It's part of it's not taking care of your body, but part of it was unexpected. Like, you know, basically when you're out of shape, it, you know, stuff that's small turns into big, and no pun intended. But that's basically what happens, man. But other than that, I'm feeling better.
That's good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Kind of getting stir crazy. I've been going out a little bit here and there.
I know. You went to the show on Friday, right?
I went to the show on Friday. I wasn't gonna go. Choppy agreed to drive in. He was nice enough to come pick us up after work and drive me and the boy into the city. And, you know, we split I paid for tolls, he paid for parking, And I just told him, I told the boys, if I can get a ride, instead of me standing up on trains and buses and boats, I didn't, you know, and I had the kid with me, I'll go. And they were like, you know what, we'll, you know, Choppy's like, I'll just take you in. So he drove in. We parked down the block. It was a really, really good show. I really did it for the kid, because I've been to a dozen, you know, dozens of shows like that. But I really did it for the kid. He really wanted to go, looking forward to it. And he, when you watch the pay per view back, he was all over the pay per view because they, our seats are right by where the wrestlers came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good deal. They you know, it was a good time. Everybody had a great time.
That's good.
And I didn't get up much, just to take Junior to the bathroom. So that was, you know, other than that, I just stayed in my seat, tried to reserve my my strength in the leg. So
I know that you've been out and about a little bit. I know that you saw Guardians also.
Yeah. Wifey took me to a theater in our new neighborhood, which was still in the process of moving, and we took a break. And I can't do anything anyway. I'm useless right now. But there's a movie theater down a block from where we're gonna live that has those luxury seats where you can actually, they're like recliners.
Yeah.
And what
company?
I think it's an AMC. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. You know what? I could actually tell you right now what it is. But yeah, it was a deal where it's like those reclining seats. They're like, you know, it's almost like one of them, you know, like those Bob's Furniture gimmicks. You know, they have like the reclining seats. You can put your drink in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that was the whole thing. It's it was, I'm sorry, Surfer, it's an atrium. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the, it's just Atrium Cinema, but I don't know. But yeah, I went to go see Guardians. That was great, you know, but, and I had my leg up the whole time, so it worked out.
That's good. I'm glad you're on the mend. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad you're mobile.
I mean,
for God's sakes, we were just about to start a GoFundMe to get you one of those hover rounds.
Oh, man. Honestly, I've never been this, I haven't been this debilitated ever. It was a rough deal, man. And the hospital stay was even worse. I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, lost some weight, which was good, but that was just by aggravation of not eating and not sleeping. But
that's how it always is. Like, oh, you look good. You lost some weight. Well, yeah, because I've been suffering for the last 2 weeks.
They sent the dietitian to my room. Check this out. They sent the dietitian to my room. They said, Mr. Ray, you lost weight. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. She's like, what? And that's exactly what I said to her. I was like, yeah, no shit. She's like, why? I'm like, have you tried the food here? And she looked at me and she smiled. And I'm like, you know, then I'm not getting meals.
Maybe that's part of the plan.
Right. I'm not getting meals. Like, my wife would bring me lunch once in a while. Rob and Elaine, Rob and Mega Powers came up with Elaine. They brought me pizza one time. I couldn't even eat it. Like, I didn't even have an appetite to boot. But like, they're like, well, you're losing some weight. We're a little concerned. I can't eat this slop. You're bugging.
Well, you know, quite remember about hospital food. They give you these small portions, and then like, one of my problems is I'm not used to eating dinner early. So when I was in the hospital, if I didn't order by 6 o'clock, I wasn't going to eat for the rest of the night.
Oh no, they give you this menu where you get to pick your food for the next day. Yeah.
I mean,
but the kitchen closed at 6:30. I'm more used to eating around 8, maybe. Does that mean making that static?
I don't know. You just gotta bear with us. I mean, I'm still tweaking all the settings, so we might have some weird sounds throughout the night.
Yeah, I was
just checking if it was me, I could do something to fix it.
I think it might be me, but go ahead.
No, I had the roommate from hell.
Oh, God.
I had this dude. He lived in one of these group homes. Real, you know, and he was up every 30 seconds, constantly walking back and forth, going to the bathroom with the door open.
Ugh.
He shit himself. Like didn't want to walk to the bathroom. He shit himself. Not once, but twice. Housekeeping had to come. I asked for a new room. They couldn't give me a new room. This dude pissed all over the floor. And I had brand new slippers. I couldn't even go into the bathroom. I had to call housekeeping. This dude was a fucking slob. I almost punched him in his neck.
Oh, God. I got to tell you, this just sounds terrible. Here, we've got, you know, private rooms. We got this. I don't know, man. I mean, let me see if we got Tony.
Well, and then on top of that, you know, you have to pay for TV. And my mom came to visit me, and she looked up. She goes, "How come your TV isn't on?" I'm like, "Cause I'm not paying $10 a day for it." She's like, $10 a day, so my stepfather starts to whip out his wallet. I'm like, no, it's not the money, man. It's the fucking principle of it. Why should I pay for television when you don't get a bunch of channels anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get like maybe a couple of dozen, and you're paying $10 a day. That's crack prices. I was like, that's nuts. So I brought my laptop. I had Netflix. Choppy gave me his Hulu gimmick. That was great. And I had the network, and I had everything else. I had you guys. I had a bunch of stuff going on.
Look at this. Now we finally got Tony C on.
What the hell?
What,
with your damn phone.
Not my damn phone. Listen.
Man, I was calling in, and I couldn't hear nothing.
Well, listen. Bear with us, dude. We got gimmick issues here. You know, gimmick issues. But anyways, so we learned that Phil, you know, was convalescing for almost 2 weeks. Was sick of the lemon meringue pie. Wait a minute. He was sick of the lemon meringue pie that they were giving him, and he's just glad to be home. Well, we're glad you're home.
So him and Surfer, Oscar and Felix at the hospital, is sharing the room.
I wish I had Surfer as a roommate. This other guy I had was a nightmare.
Jeez, could you imagine?
You don't want him in there.
That's a reality show right there. That's a reality show right there. I'd pay for that. Phil and Surfer in the same hospital room? Oh, man.
Rand Ekim's odd couple.
Exactly.
Me and Phil get along just dandy.
I
don't know what you're talking about, Tony C.
Give it about 2.5 hours.
Exactly.
2.5 hours and Phil listening to you complaining that you got a Kaiser roll instead of a wheat bun instead of a regular bun for your hamburger.
You're like, oh.
And he's going to throw his dinner tray at you.
Freaking nurse ragged.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Well, I didn't run my nurse ragged.
Anyways, let's see what's going on with that. What about you, Surfer? What's happening with you? Anything interesting?
Well, you know, did the Mother's Day thing. Spent time with her. Gave her a gift.
That's mighty white of you.
Yeah, I know. Listen to the complaint report last night for the first time. Well, actually, I listened to the replay this morning. I listened to the Hater Report show, whatever it's called.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that shit. No.
Hey, hold on. As a contributor of that show.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna
talk about shit. listen to people talk about a bunch of hate when it comes to sports.
Thought you were talking about something else. Wait a minute. I thought you were talking about something else. Never mind.
No, I'm talking about the the Hater Report. Comes on this network on Monday night.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
No.
I thought you were talking about something else.
Yeah. William put that show on Monday specifically to piss you off.
I listen to y'all hate the two premier athletes of this era.
Thank you for listening. By the way, anyway.
I see I brought that hate over from Saturday night to Monday.
Pretty much. That's what we did.
Hey, that's the purpose of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Entertainment, baby. It
gets more ears on Monday nights anyways.
Damn right.
I saw that WWE movie today, and it had no WWE superstars in it.
What WWE movie?
Slight.
I don't even know.
Only you.
Would be only me.
Was it better than the Jetson? Was it better than the Jetson?
Oh yeah, it's not a cartoon, but no, it was a good movie, and it's highly recommended. That's why I wouldn't saw it.
Was it better than the Jetsons Big Show one I saw last week?
Oh come on now!
You could tell Phil
it was better than some Jetsons cartoon.
You could tell Phil had a lot of free time.
Boomin' ain't make no run in the movie.
No, it wasn't no wrestlers in it.
That's a first. I know you're going to see that movie, The Wall, ain't you?
I think this is the second movie that didn't have where these kids sneak into this blind guy's house and he starts killing them. I think that's a WWE movie.
Hold on, wait a minute. So you're not going to see that Army movie with your boy in it? You ain't gonna support him?
Oh, really? No, I'm not. First of all, I'm not. That's out already. To watch him. And second, I'm not a war movie guy.
What did they put The Rock in it to help in the sequel to help the franchise?
You no, know because The Rock's already been in a war movie. It's called G.I. Joe.
Fast and Furious is starting to turn into a war movie too. What about you, Tony? See anything interesting happening with you?
I did see Baywatch last week. Sorry,
you saw Baywatch.
We know you did. We know that.
All right, Surfer, go ahead.
The Hasselhoff.
Yeah, he made a cameo and Pamela Anderson.
He made an appearance in Guardians. He's getting a check.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Hoff
is all over the place.
What about you, Tony C? Anything interesting with you this week?
Ain't nothing going on but the boss, man. You see, same old. Day by day.
Now, if you're listening to this, whether you're listening to it live or you're listening to this on the download, listen, I apologize for the audio quality. It's going to get better by next week or by Sunday when we're technically supposed to do some coverage of Extreme Rules. So, please just bear with
backlash.
Us. Backlash. This week,
I can't call backlash.
This week has just been hell with this damn computer. I never expected that I would go from Thursday to Friday and be out a grand on a computer. So it's been one hell of a week. And now I have to get this hard drive adapter. That I have to pull the hard drive out of the old computer, plug it into a USB plug, so I could just pull the damn things off. So I gotta, because this happened in the office too. So I have an excuse now to use the office's money to buy one of these adapters and just technically borrow it. So now I gotta order this and then spend I don't know how much time it's gonna take to transfer almost a terabyte of files.
Why can't you just put the hard drive in your new computer without the adapter?
But that's the thing. I don't know. I've never done this process before, so I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know if I could just plug it in and just leave it there.
See, when you use a 10 to 1,000 like me,
do you know how to install a hard drive?
I've installed two things on a computer. In the old days, I installed a CD burner, and then I've added memory to the computer. That's the only thing I've ever done.
Well, usually, if you can do that, it shouldn't be hard for you to do the hard drive. Okay. You just got to make sure
that you
make your old hard drive a slave.
The only thing I'm hoping. And I did a lot of reading.
Did you just mention slavery on this damn network?
You got a slave to old hard drive, yes. They both can't be
There you go.
I'll figure all that out. But my only concern is that I've done some reading, and there are some people that have said that when you do that, no matter how you do it, that what it does is that it repopulates all your files and renames them. And I'm hoping, God forbid, I hope that's not the case, because everything is individually filed. Everything is where it's supposed to be. I just want to drag and drop. I don't want to have to go back and rename everything.
So are you using AOL or NetSpan to do this?
I'm going to use CompuServe and Prodigy at the same time. But listen, the computer served me well. It's logged a lot of online hours, okay? I've had that computer for 7 years. Never gave me a day's trouble. It's broadcast about 400 episodes of The Rant, plus countless of other shows. It's been through three different networks. It debuted shortly after WrestleMania 27, so I can't complain. It did me well. So, but I want my files. Okay? I want my files. And I don't want no Geek Squad putting his grubby paws all over my my stuff. Anyways, that's my
rant. All right.
That's my rant today about that. But yeah, so here we are. If you hear all these weird sounds and this and that, just bear with us. We're working on it. Anyways, now, on to network stuff. So while all this crap with the computer was going on, we had some interesting developments happen in the course of the last 7 days. And they all involve the accessibility of the network. Meaning, you can now download all the network shows on Google Play. I believe everything is now available on Tumblr. And starting today, the shows will now be available on YouTube. So, if you feel behooved and you want to go and, you know, just plug in YouTube and listen to one of the shows, you can do that. Just go to YouTube.com, The Rant on BTR, and yes, I can't change the name. Unfortunately, I'm locked into that one. But you go, or you can search Rant Entertainment Media on YouTube. We will come up, and you can go look at the show. The only show that's there now is the sports report from last night. Going forward, all the shows will be available there. And then,
so the only thing left availability wise is what, 8-track?
8-track. We need to go on
45s
and you know, a wax cylinder.
Videotape
and audio cassette and all that stuff.
Uh oh, there go that film strip noise again.
Yeah, there it is. You know, we're gonna have that. It's gonna
film strip.
It's gonna be the sound, you know, when you drop the needle on the record.
That popping,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, you got any cardboard records?
No.
Sorry. Yep, those two. They were coming on CB radio.
What was those
in the summertime?
Those plastic records that they the colored records that they give you as a kid. You know, the ones that were like orange and blue and.
They weren't quite a 45. I forgot what size they were.
I forgot what that was. But that's early 80s stuff, right?
Are there. You talking about the cereal boxes?
No. It was like a kid's. It was like a kid's record player, but the records were like orange and blue and, you know, green and all sorts of colors. And they played whatever.
Oh, they would play those kiddie songs.
I guess.
Yeah. Like Disney records and stuff.
Yeah, I remember
that shit. But anyways. All right. Well, let's talk some wrestling. Actually, first, before we get into wrestling, I have this fresh in my mind, and I feel we need to talk about it because I read the story about 20 minutes ago, and it floored me. The networks are having their upfronts this week. The various networks are having the different upfronts. ABC apparently had their upfronts yesterday. They're bringing back Roseanne.
Yeah.
No.
Yep, ABC, signed, sealed, and delivered.
And they're bringing back Roseanne.
Yeah, I've been hearing that for a while now.
But it's coming back now. It is signed.
David on being on CBS, he's going to work both?
He was not listed there, but here's what I don't get. They're bringing back John Goodman as well.
And he's supposed to be dead, right?
And he's dead in the series.
That's what my wife said.
Did he die?
He did die in the final episode.
He died, yeah. They had the dream. Retcon. Yeah, they had the dream that they were rich. But in reality, he was dead.
Yeah. So, they're bringing...
So, that whole hitting the lottery thing, that was a dream?
It was a dream.
Yeah, that was a dream sequence.
You saw the final episode, Tony C?
No.
Oh, my God. The whole thing... Okay, so... Let's bring Tony C up to speed here. Dan is dead. They never won the lottery.
He had a heart attack.
Okay, the heart attack. You remember he had the heart attack in the series?
Yeah.
Okay, that supposedly was the heart attack that killed him. But the dream sequence picked up from there.
when they had the big fight.
When they had the big fight. The
Godzilla.
Yeah, and then they won the lottery and all that shit.
Well, maybe the new TV show is all dream sequence.
Well, wait a minute. So Darlene was married to Mark, and Becky was married to David. Yes. That's how it is.
What, they swapped partners?
They swapped partners in the dream. And let's see. Roseanne's sister is a lesbian.
And her daughter.
And her daughter. Well, that wasn't in the show. That's in real life. But so they're bringing back all these characters, though.
You know, hey, Dallas brought JR back to life.
And they're bringing in both Beckys.
No, so how the hell that's going to work?
The second Becky is going to play a different character.
What? Listen, why can't John Goodman's character come back to life if JR can come back to life for Dallas? Because he shot himself.
Damn time. We know JR came back to life. We try to figure out how the hell this man comes back to life.
Exactly. If he dropped
Maybe they're going to say that they saved him from the heart attack.
No, come on.
Oh, maybe he's going to be John Goodman's twin brother.
What, Phil Goodman? No. But,
Either way, it's going to suck.
This generation knows nothing about Roseanne.
It seemed like that would be better served on as a Netflix show, like Fuller House.
But they said they got all the offers from all those platforms, and they felt it would just be best to go back to ABC.
You know, which
and
is
it's coming in the fall.
It's just another attempt to bring back what was once great on television. It's sad. Same thing with movies. They redo all these movies, and it's a crapshoot. Now they're going to redo all these TV shows. It's going to be a crapshoot.
But here's
maybe we can get another Cosby Show.
Oh, shut up!
Fuck him!
I'd never liked the Cosby Show to begin with.
That's because you're racist.
She's on Empire now. Wrecking Shop. Claire Huxtable's on. Empire Wrecking Shop. She's straight.
But see, y'all don't know the genes to bring back the Cosby Show. This time, Bill Cosby can be his true self. You can see him giving these women roofies.
Oh, God.
Anyways, that caught me off guard. I just read that about 20 minutes ago before coming on the air. And it really caught
anything me else new coming on Pop TV? That's going to precede TNA?
On Pop TV, no. Not that I'm aware of. I
caught an episode of ER on Pop the other day.
A reminder, by the way, for those of you that listened to The Shining Wizards earlier tonight, boy, oh boy, you missed it. Chris Jericho was on The Shining Wizards. So
And Rip Rogers.
And Rip Rogers. And we're going to talk about Rip Rogers here in a minute. But...
Terry Bollea was on them?
No, that's Rip. What was his? That Rip.
Rip'em.
Rip what?
Rip'em.
Was it Rip Rip'em?
No, well that was
no. They called him Rip'em.
Okay, but what was his? It was Rip.
What was his last name on in the movie? I forget.
Oh God. Anyways, we'll figure it out here in a minute.
Yep. His first name was Rip. Last name Yep. There you go. But damn, you know what? The Shining Wizards. I'm going to need y'all to let me call in and talk to some of these legends now. Because I done talked to Stevie Ray. I talked to Buff Bagwell. Y'all leaving me out the loop. I'm feeling left out now. Got some hard-hitting questions I need to know.
Wow.
Did they ask Jericho about beating Triple H with a torn quad? How that felt?
No. They didn't talk to
him. Oh, come on, man. It's hard getting questions.
They only had 15 minutes with Jericho today because Jericho was busy.
Squeezed that question in?
They were asking because here's the thing. He's on a meteoric rise in terms of Fozzy because he's got a single out that is on the Billboard Top 100. He's never had a single on the Top 100 before. So,
yeah, it's because rock music, he put not enough records. That's why he got that top spot.
Well, either exactly. way, we're going to rebroadcast.
Who came up with the genius name, Ron Mysterio?
And Skivone and all that stuff.
Exactly. Did he ever get his Lenny Lane tape back? I mean, see, it's hard.
You see, now that question I would ask. That question I would ask if he got his Lenny Lane tape back.
And where's Ralphus, man? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
He's probably dead, unfortunately.
See, the Wizards need...
Oh, you know who I found out that died, Tony C? That when I found out, I was like, oh, Tony C's going to be sad now. And he apparently died last year. So, you know, it's not like this is new. But apparently, Chip Burnham died.
Man.
For those of you that don't know, Chip Burnham was the, you know...
The messenger.
Was like the messenger and the figurehead in WCW. There in like the 95, 96 era when it wasn't like... You know, they had the... He was like the Jack Tunney of WCW in that short
period.
Yeah,
he was the Doug Dillinger of the administrative role.
Exactly. Something like that.
And Chip Burnham died and ain't nobody told me nothing. Double A, you get, man, come on.
Well, I found that out listening to that damn Tony Schiavone podcast. I'm addicted to it. Anyways.
Ski Von will be over there giving out all the secrets. Huh?
I got to tell you, he's telling some doozies of some stories. He told an Arn Anderson story. Let me tell you something. So they did, this has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but I can't play the audio, so I have to describe it. This past, yesterday's episode that came out, new episode comes out every Monday. So the episode that came out last night was about Fall Brawl 1997. And what they do is, before they get into the pay-per-view, they talk about the events leading up to the pay-per-view. So naturally, they talked about Arn Anderson's retirement speech. They talked about the NWO parody and all that stuff. Before they start talking about the show, Tony Schiavone kicks off the show telling an Arn Anderson story. He said that one day in Chicago that he was in a bar with Arn Anderson and David Crockett, and that they were drinking, and he was talking to Arn Anderson, and Arn was standing up, and in the middle of the conversation, Arn Anderson drops to the floor. He was passed out drunk. So he and David Crockett had to pick Arn Anderson up, throw him in a taxi cab, drive him to a hotel, and here's the funny part of the story. While David Crockett was at the front desk getting a hotel room, Tony Schiavone was propping Arn Anderson up against a palm tree, like a Weekend at Bernie's type thing. They said they got to Arn's room, they tossed him into the bed, and they left him there. And then when Arn woke up the next morning, he didn't know where the hell he was. Then he had to call somebody in the office, you know, in the Jim Crockett Promotions office, to tell him where he is, to come and pick him up, and all these things. And so the reason why I bring that part of the story up, we get now to when they're talking about the NWO parody that happened on Monday Nitro in 1997. And Tony was describing how the only thing that he recalls Arn Anderson being upset with about the entire promo was the fact that they were hitting the fact that they kept saying that Arn drinks a lot, which, you know, Arn, that made Arn upset, and he didn't want to be portrayed in that light. And that's when Tony Schiavone's co-host says, "But you told that Arn Anderson story at the start of the show."
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Out of here,
and Tony Schiavone just said, "You son of a bitch, you set me up." It was very funny.
That's right.
It was very funny, and you know, if you haven't listened to What Happened When, I would suggest listening to it. They have an episode apparently that's coming up in the middle of June where they're going to have they're going to talk about the creation of the Four Horsemen and all that stuff, which Tony Schiavone was involved with. So that's going to be an entertaining episode. I'm looking forward to that. But anyways, so here we are.
We got the anniversary of the 20th anniversary of that Fall Brawl.
Everything. A lot of things.
Starcade. Mm-hmm.
Spring Stampede.
Spring Stampede.
Of course. We're doing Spring Stampede on Friday.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, that's the night. That isn't, and I didn't realize stupid me. Me and Choppy were going over show material like 3 weeks ago, right before I got sick. And I told Choppy, I love the main event on this particular card. So he was like, all right, you want to do that one? Then we had a couple written down. You know, we go back and forth. We swap show material. And I'm watching it, and I totally forgot the Booker T promo was from that card.
Triangle match.
And I'm watching the network does not edit it out at all.
No, they don't.
And I was I immediately text Choppy. I'm like, you do realize that the Booker T promo was on there, right? And he goes, I totally forgot about it. So yeah, we're doing Spring Stampede on Friday.
Somebody needed to tell me too. Who the hell designated them combatants for that damn triangle match?
That's what Choppy said. You know,
it was just three of the randomest people to put together.
That apparently is random booking that WCW was known for.
You might have Choppy lose his mind for the first time on the show on Friday.
I'm calling in. You know I'm making a smooth run in to talk about Lex Luger on a pro on a, you know, Lex Luger on a pay-per-view. Hall and Nash, I mean Steiner and Nash having a tag team title singles match.
Scott Steiner getting arrested and maced.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. DDP and Savage won.
Yep, that was a good match.
Oh yeah.
I love that match, and I was telling Chop, you know, all of a sudden I'm watching this pay per view, I'm resting up, and I'm like, totally forgot the Booker T promo was on
there.
Choppy, if you're listening, I'm gonna get to the bottom of. I'm gonna get the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, all on the case of why the hell them three was in a triangle match.
I gotta tell you, this is why that What Happened When show is so good, because Tony explains a lot of this. I did not know this until he explained it, that the person who created the NWO parody was Terry Taylor.
Terrence did that.
But here's the thing. He says Terry is responsible for a lot of things in WCW that probably did not come off well on television. That could be one of them, that triangle match. But he said Terry Taylor, he said the problem with Terry Taylor is Terry, since the day he walked in the door of the industry, which we're talking, this is the mid-70s, He's always had heat. Why? Because Terry doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. And he doesn't have a filter on his mouth. So he says whatever's on his mind. And a lot of times, that shit gets him in trouble.
What was his title in the York Foundation? He's the what man of the millennium?
The tailor-made man.
That's right.
But anyway, so it could be a Terry Taylor creation, what you guys are talking about.
I'm going to dig deep into the WCW bios to go back and look at that build. That shit came out of nowhere. And then this is the funny part about it. Okay, Luger wins the match in April. He don't get the damn he got a title shot again in August out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. 97 was such a great year. I mean, we're coming up on the anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob too this year.
Yep, we're gonna do a lot of things.
You already know we've retrospecting.
We're
Bad Blood. We need to do a 20-year anniversary of the first Hell in a Cell.
There's a lot of things that are coming up here in the fall and things like that, especially going into the summer. I mean, it was 1997 was known for a lot of things, and it also was known for the Loogie, because there were a couple of Loogies in 1997, courtesy of Bret Hart, that.
Yep.
That are just gross and that have lived on in infamy. The Luger.
He's been in Shawn's face. At SummerSlam.
Exactly.
ECW had their first pay per view in 97.
They had their first pay per view, which the anniversary of that just passed.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that happened in 1997, you know?
Up on the summer of that, the anniversary of, SummerSlam.
And
97.
And it wouldn't. We did the Summer of NWO last year, so we're not going to highlight a lot of the stuff that we went over, but something tells me that come August 4th, we are going to talk about what happened at the
That's
palace.
That's my birthday.
At the palace.
I'm calling. I won't be on. I won't be on that night.
You see? Look at that.
That's sick, my birthday. That night. Look at that. That's what. That was August 4th, 97. That's when Lugo won the title,
exactly.
Right on Nitro.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That might be a throwback.
Tony C doesn't like that. So.
That's my birthday.
I'm calling sick that night. I know I'm gonna have a cold that damn night.
The 100th episode of Monday Nitro.
And. This is the anniversary, 20th anniversary of Owen Hart and Stone Cold Angle too.
I was at that. That was the Meadowlands. That was SummerSlam 97. Mm-hmm. I was at that event. Me and Kevin Castle were at that event.
Yep. Austin 3, Owen 316.
Said I just broke your neck.
It's gonna be a hell of a summer and fall right here, Randy.
Just keep it locked on the rant, man. We're gonna cover all the bases on 1997.
Exactly. Let
me just ask this one quick question before we move on. Is 97 the banner year for wrestling in that period?
In the nineties?
I would say WCW peaked in 97.
I'm talking about WWF, just wrestling. What year was better in the 90s?
Better in the 90s?
I'm talking about both companies.
I want to say that 90, if you want to go on a level that one company was, because here's the issue. What happened in the 90s is either one company was good and the other was bad. It was very rarely that both were very good or both were equal. The only time I would say that both companies were equal in the sense of what was being done, I would venture to say that 1999 is probably the year that the companies were like not
99.
I'm going to tell you why, because you got to remember in 97, WCW was up on top. And the WWF, even though they were doing some big things, was way down here. They didn't start picking up steam.
But they started to turn their corner, summer?
A little bit towards the end of the year. After when the Brett thing happened, that's when things really took off.
But they started turning the corner
in the summer.
SummerSlam. They started like an uphill climb.
That's a very slow one, I think. And yeah. Obviously, 98, they took off. 99 is where they were at that. It was pretty much like an even playing field. And then, I would say at the end of 99, though, that's when WCW started to take a sharp downward spiral, you know. And we know what happened ultimately. But but that's what I think. 99 is probably, that was the equal year there. But prior to that, you had the first half of the 90s belonged to the WWF, and the second half primarily belonged to WCW.
See, I'm going to be the minority. I liked the early 90s WCW when they broke away from the NWA.
Well, I loved it, too. The problem is that the general consensus will tell you the early 90s was dominated by the WWF.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The end of the Hogan run and...
You know, you had
the
beginning of Brett...
Brett coming up, Flair coming over.
Yeah, I mean those were some big times for them. But I agree with Phil. I'm a fan of WCW in the early 90s, despite all the shit they put out. You know,
and when Rude was there.
Yeah,
and
despite
Bulldog,
all that. You still had the Horsemen, you had the Steiners, you had Sting, you had stunning Steve Austin. You don't count PN News.
They had the Shockmaster. I can't get any better than that.
And right. Well, listen, Paul Roma being in the Horseman.
That wasn't quality.
And I don't care if he was on the Wizards or not 2 weeks ago. Paul Roma.
He held up that four.
Henry Kendall. That I can't stop with the Kendall shit.
Yeah, league champion.
I'm just saying, stating that the man held up.
Kendall was a horseman.
Kendall was never a horseman.
Exactly. I've been holding up.
He was a horseman for like a couple weeks.
You're bugging. Never
had a cup of coffee.
I've been holding up four fingers for 30 years. That doesn't make me a horseman.
Yeah, but you got to hold up four fingers
in the presence
while
of
you left. While you in the ring. Yeah,
and on top
with
of that,
the rest of horsemen.
And on top of that, my name is Double A.
First of all, when Kendall was in the company, Hiro Matsuda
was running.
Was
things.
Managing. There was no horseman at that point.
Yeah.
Matsuda. He was a part of what is it called? The Suda Club. Matsuda Club.
Something like the Yamaguchi.
The Yamaguchi
Club. Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
it is the horseman because you had both Windhams. You had Ric Flair.
And that's it.
They were not the horsemen.
You had Arn.
Arn was gone.
It was. It was somebody else too.
No, Arn was gone.
He was in WWF. No,
that's right. Arn was gone. That's why Kendall was a horseman, because they didn't have nobody else.
JJ was gone. Tully was gone. Everybody was gone.
He held up that damn four. Double A going to quit acting like Paul Roma ain't do it.
Paul Roma, no, I will acknowledge that Paul Roma did it and was a member, but I refuse to accept Kendall Windham.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That's like me saying I refuse to accept Vincent as a member of the NWO. Damn it, he was one.
He was a member. You can't deny
him. Him and Horace. That's okay. Horace Hogan, somebody like that.
Horace was a member of the NWO.
Everybody was in the NWO by 1997.
No, they weren't. No, they were not.
Even Dusty Rhodes was in the NWO. Come on.
Yeah.
Dusty was an outsider.
You kiss my ass, if you will.
Because Kendall turned on Dustin.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Joined the horse.
There was no horseman, dude.
He was feuding with Arnett. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Right,
that,
he turned on him.
All right.
He did turn on him.
Listen, I don't.
Lee, if you out there, brother, I need you.
Lee,
Double A trying to deny it.
Lee,
him and Phil trying to deny it.
Lee, we got technical problems tonight. Anyways,
no.
Lee and I had this discussion on three different shows.
I've had this discussion.
If we gonna keep having, y'all gonna quit denying.
Accept the truth.
No.
Exactly.
Listen, to go back.
So Mankind was never part of DX for one night.
He was for one night.
Win the title.
Anyways, listen.
Same way, Kendall Winter was a part of the Horsemen.
I'm going back to my point that I was bringing up here. So Phil brought up that the promo is uncensored in the network. Another thing that was uncensored is Bobby Heenan's F-bomb on TBS. That's also there.
With Brian Pillman.
I just watched that the other day, and I laughed my ass off. I got to tell you something else that I laughed my ass off about.
Wait, that's on the network?
That's on the network.
So I can actually make a better copy of that.
You can make a clean, crisp, HD sounding drop with that now.
Do you have the episode?
It is the Clash January 96, so that would be 35, 34,
33. Clash 32. I just like that. What's up? What can you do?
Exactly. That's exactly how it sounded.
Yeah, that's when Brian Pillman pulled the chair from him.
Exactly.
Yep.
I got to tell you, there's another thing. So, I'm going to talk about the network here for a little bit, because WWE uploaded a whole bunch of shit to the network recently. One of the things that they uploaded was about 115 episodes of Primetime Wrestling. Now,
yeah, I saw that.
I didn't watch a lot of Primetime Wrestling when it was just Monsoon and Heenan. I watched Primetime Wrestling when they had that round table with Heenan and McMahon and Hillbilly Jim and all that shit. That was the precursor to Monday Night Raw. And so I went back and I started watching some of these episodes of Primetime Wrestling. Oh my God.
You saw the episode when Ric Flair was about to come?
No. They didn't go that far. They didn't go that far.
Oh, they ain't got that one up there.
That was
called
91, right?
That was 91, yeah. So they have it up to about, I want to say, the end of 89. I pulled a random episode, okay? I pulled the episode that was prior to WrestleMania 5. So the episode takes place from Atlantic City, and the show starts off with Bobby Heenan trying to check into the hotel. And You're going to laugh when I tell you this, and I wish I could play the audio. So Bobby is having trouble with the front desk clerk, right? There's a guy with a white beard and an African-American woman on the telephone, right? So Bobby's talking all this trash to the guy, saying, listen, I'm trying to get up to my room and this and that. I want you to order champagne, this and that, whatever. But you got to put it on Gorilla Monsoon's tab. And this, he's talking all this shit. And this other woman is like, Mr. Heenan, leave me alone. Don't you see I'm talking to him? And she keeps saying, Mr. Heenan. They're like, listen, you're on the phone. I don't want to talk to Run DMC. He said that to this woman. And she finally got his attention. And it was a whole bunch of back and forth. Then Tony Schiavone comes walking in. And says, Bobby, I know where Gorilla is. And he's like, who the hell are you? Like, I'm Tony Schiavone. I work here. And you know, it was the first meeting between Bobby and Tony Schiavone. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm describing it really bad because the audio is a lot better. You need to go and watch this because I laughed my ass off during this this particular episode. Now, that episode was funny, which tells you the rest of the episodes are going to be just as funny. They finally track down Monsoon in the casino playing blackjack. And, of course, they have it out in the casino in front of everybody. And there's this 90-year-old woman sitting behind Monsoon that keeps staring at Bobby. And he just tells Monsoon, so I see you brought your wife. And he just kept insulting Monsoon and insulting the staff of the hotel and this and that. And Bobby, don't you know who this is? This is Tony Schiavone. I know who he is. Oh, really? Do you know who he works with? And Bobby just gives like this glazed stare. Like he does play-by-play with Lord Alfred Hayes. Oh, I thought Lord Alfred Hayes just got a facelift or something like that. He said some shit like that. It's comedy.
It's comedy gold.
It is very funny. Oh, yeah. It's just really, really quick. And and then Brother Love came into the segment. And it was just, oh man. So go and look it up. It's a Primetime Wrestling on the WWE Network. Speaking of the network, this coming, originally it was scheduled for Thursday, but now it's going to air on Friday. Friday, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 p.m. for you folks over there in the UK. It's the UK Championship Special. It'll air on the WWE Network. Jim Ross, Nigel McGuinness to call the action. That should be, with that, just that alone, it's going to be spectacular. 3 o'clock.
I'm glad they brought JR back in some capacity.
Yeah. And the news also was announced this past week that Jim Ross, what the hell are you doing, sir?
What is that noise?
He's sitting on his microphone.
Server moving around.
He's moving around.
Like he bothered the brain.
He's dropping that damn headset. Anyways.
So, can I say something real quick? Jinder Mahal looks like he's the greatest never going to have a champion to ever walk through the door. He just looks good holding up that belt. Too bad he won't be a champion for real.
It don't matter. They're booking him properly so far.
We'll see what happens on Sunday.
The reason why, I'll tell you Sunday why I don't think he'll win.
It's Chicago. Remember that. So.
There you go.
That's going to play a big deal on Sunday. Going back to what I was saying about Jim Ross. So Jim Ross and Nigel McGuinness, they're on the call for this UK Championship Special that's going to air on Friday afternoon on the network. It was also announced that Jim Ross is going to be the voice of the women's tournament that's going to air in the summer. So we're going to be seeing and hearing a lot of Jim Ross here. And
he can't call Backlash?
He can't call Backlash, though. I'm just tickled to death to have JR back calling action.
And, yeah, good times.
Yeah, so it all starts this Friday, 3 o'clock on the WWE Network, the UK Championship special. You don't want to miss it. I certainly won't miss it. I'm looking.
Yeah, we'll try to recap it Friday night.
Yeah,
a little bit. I'll probably get to watch it on Friday afternoon.
Yeah. So yeah, you can definitely hear Phil and Choppy talk about that on Friday. Saturday, you've got NXT TakeOver Chicago. We were scheduled to have some sort of coverage. I don't know if we're still doing it or not. I guess we'll have that discussion later on. But with all the technical crap this past week, I don't know. We're also penned to have coverage on Sunday for Backlash. So you know, bear with us. Right now, we are scheduled to do Backlash coverage on Sunday beginning at 7 o'clock following the
Backlash.
Following the What Are You Reading comic book show on Sunday. And then I think that's it. I think the next pay-per-view after that is Extreme Rules, which is in 3 weeks. And we've got some other specials that's going to be coming up. And hopefully we'll get our drops and all that shit back by next week. You know, because it feels weird not being able to flick a button and play a bell and whatever. But anyways.
You feel naked without your drop.
I
huh?
do. I do, man. I do. Let's see here. So, listen to this. WWE has decided, and I was there this past April when Beach Ball Mania happened. WWE is banning beach balls at these shows now. Because apparently it's too distracting for the audience, and they keep looking away from the television cameras.
Listen, well, they wouldn't look away if what they was watching was worth watching.
That's true.
I don't care how many beach balls you throw in there. If what's on the field or in the ring is exciting, then those balls are just going to be, you know, there.
Well, first of all, the money that you pay now for a ticket, mm-hmm. If you have to bring a beach ball to a wrestling match, you're either under the age of 15, okay, and or you're just a retard. Because it is so expensive now to walk into these places to have to sit in a decent seat.
Welcome to Trump country.
Wow. Well, it doesn't matter what country it is, dude. You walk in, you know how those for a family, listen. If my family wanted to go to a wrestling match, mm-hmm. right? I was pricing tickets for Newark on Monday night. If I want to sit in a decent seat with my family, like close to the ring, you're talking easily for three of us a little over $400.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why would I bring a friggin' beach ball to an event that I'm paying
for? And it's been that way for a while.
Now, Phil, you wouldn't bring a beach ball. What I'm saying is, you just bought tickets for you and the fam. Y'all sitting there.
Right.
Now, if a ball, listen, if a ball pops up somewhere, are you going to watch the bouncing ball or are you going to watch what's in the ring?
I'm watching what's in the ring. Unless the ball bounces in front of me and I have to move the ball physically like I used to do at the Mets games back in the 80s. But, I mean, that's the last time we had beach balls, right? It was in the 80s. But, you know, I mean, come on, man. If you have to bring a beach ball and you're paying all that money for a seat,
well, that's the thing I never understand about wrestling fans. It's like you spend all this money just to go to a show to complain that it's not up to your standard.
But you'll bring a beach ball.
Well, listen, here's the thing. The beach balls are, yes, they are a distraction, but I understand the purpose of why they did it the Monday after WrestleMania. I understand that reason. I went back, you know, afterwards, and I didn't watch it in its entirety, but the beach balls really did not make it out onto television on that Monday after WrestleMania. What you guys did not see, though, was insanity. There had to have been 50 beach balls that were confiscated. 50, not 5. 50. They kept dropping from the ceiling, basically. You know, somebody would blow, you know, it's like they went to the dollar store and they just got a... My question is this, how the hell did they get into the building?
Yeah, it's...
That's what I want to know.
It makes no sense.
You blow it up in the place.
I get that, Surfer, but how the hell did that many make it into the building?
That's a good question, because...
Because they all were coming more or less from the same location.
I mean, confiscating signs now. They're confiscating all the crap. I mean,
yeah.
It's just. I mean, the attention span of the casual wrestling fan, not the hardcore fan like us. The attention span of a casual wrestling fan is not too bright.
But plus,
it's 4 hours of wrestling matches.
Plus, you know, the fans today always want to insert themselves into the show somehow. By, you know, the way they react or bringing balls to bounce around.
I don't know.
Like they expect to be part of the show.
4 hours is a lot to sit through, though. It's a lot.
Yeah, but 4 hours for anything, a movie, wrestling.
Are you bringing a beach ball, though?
But to wrestling, no.
Except for Avengers. Infinity War.
I'm not bringing no beach ball. I spent $20 on an IMAX ticket. I'm not bringing no ball.
You might bring a donut.
Screw the balls.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand the logic in that at all. I really don't.
The only balls WWE.
Because people have short attention spans.
It's great balls of fire.
Yeah,
that's the only one.
I gotta tell you. You know what? Yeah. I wouldn't surprise me if the beach balls appear at that pay-per-view. But no, the problem with the beach balls is that the ones that are bringing the beach balls are the obnoxious fans. Those are the fans that chant CM Punk and, you know, and different things, asshole, and things like that, that get the audience. You know, there's always one asshole that yells something that causes the chant. You know, it only takes one person to yell.
He's trying to be part of the show.
Exactly, but it only takes one person to yell CM Punk to get the entire arena yelling CM Punk.
As if he go magically show up and save wrestling.
So, I don't know. It's not that wrestling fans behaved because, you know, I don't know what fans were worse. The fans today or the fans of the 70s and 80s.
Plus, CM Punk doesn't care about wrestling. If he did, he would wrestle someplace else.
What do you think, Phil? The fans of the old days are worse, or the fans because the fans of the old days?
No, the fans are worse now, man.
Because the
fans are worse now because
that's all relevant.
No, you know, because the fans of the 70s and 80s, at least there was an etiquette to what they were doing. They just didn't. They didn't hijack the show.
Nobody.
I told you I went to an indie show a couple of months ago, right? And I sat near ringside. And Shane Douglas was the main event. And he comes out. And Shane Douglas can cut a great promo, you know, no matter how old he is. He comes out. He cuts this promo. And there's these two dudes on the other side of the ring. Standing on their chair, screaming at him. Now, there's 150 people at this indie show, if that. Maybe 200 people, right? And it was like these kids, and I call them kids, and they were in their 20s, late 20s, early 30s. These kids just yelled and screamed at him on their chairs just to steal the show. And this is what the kids do now. They pay for their ticket. They come to the event. They boo the shadow, whoever they want to boo. And they start these ridiculous chants just to be part of the show now. That's it. Bottom line. You know,
in the old days, they just stabbed the wrestlers, and that was it.
Well, yeah, that's in the southern regions of. That's when you know, when the old ladies brought that they had their hat pins at ringside, and they were poking at the wrestlers. You know.
Oh man, I don't know. I mean,
I missed the ignorant days of wrestling when we all thought it was real. I do sometimes.
The first show I ever went to. I've told this story before, but the first show I ever went to was a house show. And it was a house show in West Palm Beach. And this was at the beginning times of the Attitude Era. And the main event was Stone Cold versus Triple H. Shawn Michaels was at ringside. And it was the night that Stone Cold stunned China. This is prior to her, to him stunning her for the first time on television. He had not done it to her on television yet. So I guess they were working the angle out at the house shows, you know. And we were going into No Way Out, 1998. So this is in February of 98. And one of the other matches, Tony C, was Kane versus Tom Brady. But anyways.
oh, my damn. So, you took it back with that.
So I'm watching, right? And this is, so we're talking 1998. The fans are starting to get smart at this point in time. But there's still that redneck fan, that old school redneck white trash fan in attendance. And there was an obnoxious hillbilly sitting in front of us, you know, with his sleeveless shirt, drinking his pints of course,
Keystone Light
or whatever the hell beer they were serving at the Palm Beach
Schlitz
or whatever it was.
Oh, they weren't drinking the Schlitz.
And he was just being obnoxious to the point that, you know, I went with my brother. My brother, I kind of like told him to shut the hell up. And there was like almost something, you know, that happened. But there was that, you know, those hillbilly fans still existed. This is 1998. They've since died. You know, I don't see too many hillbillies now at wrestling shows. I see what I see now at wrestling shows is moms with their kids and a lot of 20-something girls that are cute. They got nothing better to do, so they decide, let me see if I can pick up a date at a wrestling show.
Yeah, what was those girls when I was growing up?
Can't knock that hustle, man.
You can, you know, but so the climate definitely has changed now.
You know? Yeah, it becomes this smart marky, you know, environment. Like, well, that, or you have to yell at people to sit down. You know, we taught my kid how to yell at people to sit down.
Having more women wrestlers helped bring women to the stadium.
No, that didn't help.
Today it does.
It doesn't. You know what? You know what does it? Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, yep. John Cena.
But it doesn't hurt when you see other women doing it and you're a woman.
No, the cookie cutter, I'm going to say this in a non-homo sense, the cookie cutter easy on the eyes look is what's
no
drawn.
Homo.
Hey, John, hey.
You, exactly.
Hey.
Let me tell you something.
Hey. Don't forget the wet hair.
Do you think that if there were 50 Bray Wyatts, 50 Bray Wyatts and 50 Luke Harpers out there, that the arena would be full of 21-year-old girls? Of course not.
A bunch of goth chicks.
You know?
The goth chicks would show up.
I'm going to bring it a little bit more contemporary, okay, without getting, you know, any homo here. But was there anybody in ECW that you could say, well, that's a handsome-looking fella, And it would draw females into the arena? No.
No.
So now that you got these, you know, these cookie cutter guys, that's the best way to put it, and you've got guys like, listen, I went to a wrestling show, okay, with my girlfriend, and we went with her cousin and her husband, that he helped get the tickets. We were sitting on the floor for a Monday Night Raw. And the cousin, you know, strictly was there, you know, for Roman Reigns. And when Roman Reigns came out, she got all excited and all hyper and everything. She didn't know a lick about wrestling. She knew about Roman Reigns though.
Dumb broad.
No, but that's just the climate now.
It's the climate. And like I said, there was an etiquette back in the day with the crowds, man. When kayfabe was, like Surfer said, when kayfabe was still in effect, you know, half the audience didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. Half of it knew but didn't care anyway, you know.
Now you got them taking pictures on Instagram together, heels and faces.
Exactly. In
dogs and cats getting along. Yeah. Master Sterry.
Well, that's the 21st century,
right? But it killed basically an entire generation of kayfabe, man. You know, like I want to be surprised. I don't read a lot of dirt sheets, man. I really don't. You know, I see stuff on my feed on Facebook and on Twitter, and it's like I don't go out of my way to look anymore. I just, you know, Like, my kid even reads Dirt Sheets now. He watches YouTube. Like, it's a different generation, obviously. But, you know, I loved it when kayfabe was in full effect, man.
I'm not even talking about kayfabe. I'm talking about when nobody knew it was fake.
Mm-hmm. But still, like there was a mystique to it, man. It was fun to be surprised, you know.
Oh yeah.
Now you know who people were in the back. People hanging out in the parking lot, like Tony C said, taking pictures.
You know people's real names.
Real names. Back in the day, that was like big trivia. If you knew somebody's real name, you know you were up the upper echelon of wrestling fans. You know.
Yeah, I thought George Steele's name was really George Steele.
Growing know up. People's cousins is and where their bloodlines come from and why they're getting the push.
Yep. I gotta I was
Oh you felt heard that shade? Yeah, I did. I threw it. I sure did.
I had something on the tip of my tongue here with that. Breaking kayfabe and all that stuff. Well, whatever. I mean, It's sad that we have to, you know. I don't mind the breaking kayfabe part, to be honest with you. That part, I guess, I can live with. Oh, now I remember what I was gonna say. But it's I'm gonna give you something though that I can't stand. And I've talked about him for years now on this show. I can't stave Dave Meltzer. I can't. I don't support what he does. I feel he's done more damage to the business than. You know, Vince Russo was a cancer to WCW, but Dave Meltzer exposed the business, okay? The business...
Vince Russo back in the booking room.
Well...
Based on that Alexa Bliss and Damn Bayley match they're going
to
have.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And Dave Meltzer was inducted to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame recently. Why the hell would they induct Dave Meltzer?
Because he was endorsed by everybody. That was the thing, man. I mean, there was no backlash to what he was doing. No company that was active gave him any kind of shit for what he was doing, dude.
They should have.
That's what. Well, they should have, obviously, but they didn't. Hence why he became what he was. And yeah, he did expose the business. He did. And you had to pay for it, too. There was no internet back then. Yeah. People got that by mail, you know? And it was only him. It was nobody else.
Golden State is trounced.
San Antonio has no help right now. But you know it does.
They dropped 72 at halftime.
Yeah, no. But it just you know there was no internet back then. There was nothing. It was just Meltzer and his mail order Dirt Sheets. You know. So it was like almost like a privilege to have that stuff.
I don't know. I just think that. That I don't know. We shouldn't be we shouldn't be honoring somebody that you know. They're really they open the business up in a way that ultimately now you know we don't have kayfabe anymore and this and that and it's just well whatever. Now talking about breaking kayfabe because you know he had to go glad hand with Roman Reigns in Italy 2 weeks ago. In front of the Roman Colosseum, Braun Strowman out 6 months with an elbow injury. He had elbow surgery yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama.
Now they say his shoulder was shattered. Was that from hitting that from lifting the truck? Or hitting the door, or having the door hit on him,
no.
Or from all those Superman punches.
I think it was legitimately hurt when Roman was beating the hell out of him last Monday.
Oh, I think when he took out that ambulance door, man, that tore him up.
I guess. I mean, who knows? Who knows what really did it? But he's out now, minimum 6 months. Him wrestling against Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire obviously won't happen now. But
so now we're getting Roman Reigns again, probably.
No, well, here's what I want. I was gonna go with this. This actually is a blessing in disguise, to be honest with you. Who's got the TV on? Tony C. What are we watching?
You're breaking up.
What are we? Nah, what are we watching, Tony C?
Or
what were we watching?
It's damn. Your damn president getting caught in these damn scandals left and right.
He'll be impeached before year's end. Anyways, anyways, back to what I'm saying. Braun getting injured is actually a blessing in disguise, believe it or not. Because here's the thing. How are you going to explain having, unless he was going to just destroy Roman Reigns, which I don't think he was going to destroy Roman Reigns completely. I have a feeling that they
were... Extreme Rules?
Or whatever. However they were going to do it, I don't think that Roman would have just came out... I think he would
have... Well, he could have still been injured, though, Double A. Shoulder might not have healed up. They could have played that angle.
I would think it's the, you know, well, not even Braun can take out Roman Reigns thing that worries me. I look at it this way. The only way that Roman was able to take out Braun was to destroy his elbow. Now what does this do? This brings Braun back, probably Royal Rumble time, as a massive, massive monster.
But he's still going to get squashed because
rumored
main event is Brock and Reigns.
But it doesn't
even matter.
Even if that's the main event, Tony C, now it gives Braun a chance to really be a monster. Because when he comes back, he's going to be 10 times bigger than what he is now.
You know, it's funny because...
But he's going to lose.
It's funny because... I mean, we'll talk about it more towards the weekend when it actually happens. But I think this opens up doors for Finn Balor.
That too.
Hell no, he just lost last night. Boomin just cooled his jets.
I think because of the way he lost the belt, and because of what happened to Strowman, they're going to have to rewrite everything up, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to give somebody like Finn Balor that Davey versus Goliath thing with Brock. I mean, obviously, the obvious choice would be Brock and Boomin. But let's be honest, who wouldn't want to see Finn Balor against Brock Lesnar? That'd be fantastic.
You're going to get that at Great Balls of Fire. He's going to win at Extreme Rules. That's why he lost last night. But still, he didn't need to lose.
There's just certain things that you could... You know, like it's you know, when one door closes, you know, another one opens up. So
what about Brock and Joe?
No, that's
too early for that.
Too early, and I don't think that the chemistry's there.
And I don't think Joe is. I don't think they consider Joe like in that running. They just throw him in there.
He's a placeholder.
He's like the Dolph Ziggler of Raw, you know.
And I hope they're doing the LeBron James with Brock, letting him rest, and then at the end of the year, I hope we ain't doing damn TLC and the rest of these damn pay per views.
I don't think so.
He ain't on there.
I hope
he got more dates at the end of the year. That's when you're gonna need him.
Especially if he's gonna
take the belt and wrestle man.
But here's the thing. I want to ask you this question, then, Tony C. Could you see Brock Lesnar wrestling a TLC match?
Nah.
Yeah.
It was a match.
Oh, come on.
If not TLC, okay, he going to show up for what?
Hell in a Cell.
A SummerSlam.
Wait, he couldn't do a chairs match or a table match.
No, I don't think he could do a gimmick. The only gimmick match that truly works with him is Hell in a Cell.
But TLC is not a Raw anymore, no way, right?
It doesn't matter. I mean, but the point is, I think Brock needs to come in for either a one-on-one or in a Hell in a Cell, and that's it. But he can work though the remainder of those pay-per-views, sure.
Yeah, but you got TLC. After SummerSlam, you got what? Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions. Then it's gonna be No Mercy. Hell in a Cell, which I don't know who belongs to
Survivor Series,
and then there'll be TLC on that show. Roadblock.
Roadblock in December?
Yeah, probably Roadblock.
There you go.
So
he in the fall and the winter, give us at least two after one more after Survivor, before Survivor Series. If you do, SummerSlam and then one more before Survivor Series. Yeah. That's more than what he did the years previous.
I mean, he got justified that $12 million, so.
Yeah, and he's on some shows next month. Him and Cena. They bring Cena back early, too.
I don't know if I want to see Cena anymore.
Next month.
Either way, it's going to open an opportunity for somebody else. They're going to have to rewrite everything with him being out for the 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just hope Finn Balor got his insurance policy paid up.
Now, speaking of Finn Balor, I watched his WWE 24 last night. Oh, it was a good. It was entertaining. It was really good. And if you haven't seen it, go take a look at it. What'd you say, Tony?
I said, does he have Affleck, Geico?
I have no idea.
Brock.
But I thought it was. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was pretty cool that 24 special. So, like I said, go check it out. Also, another thing that you need to check out: Table for Three with Edge, Christian, and Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty good.
It was very good. I thought it was pretty funny, too. A lot of things on the network lately that are just really good. All right, other news. WWE was touring last couple weeks, so, you know, the superstars were behaving themselves because usually international tours are notorious for drama. And this one, nothing really happened outside the Braun Strowman injury. They behaved themselves, so, you know, good for them.
What about the Randy Orton and damn Bubba Ray Dudley and Batista and them Twitter damn beef?
Let's talk about that. So, earlier tonight, Rip Rogers was on the Shining Wizards, okay? Rip, of course, the star of the 80s and, you know, has had his hand in a lot of the business over the years. Got into it with this whole Randy Orton independent, you know, flips and flops and this and that. I don't know the whole gist of the story, but Orton pissed off the independent wrestlers with his comments. Rip Rogers apparently also got some comments. Batista, I don't know what Batista said. I know, but I'm sure Batista said something stupid. I don't know.
See him part time then too.
Oh God, really? What did Phil have to say? And I'm not talking about the one that's on the line.
It wasn't nothing big. He just said, took a shot at Randy Orton.
Listen,
being a hypocrite.
Here's the problem that a lot of people don't understand. The business is very different now. Listen, it's great that CM Punk, Cesaro, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. You know, despite AJ putting in his time at TNA, a lot of people don't realize AJ also did a lot of time on the indie scene while in TNA. Okay, there was a period of, I believe, the first 5 or 6 years of his time in TNA, he also worked for
Ring of Honor,
a handful of independent promotions also.
He worked IWA Mid-South. He worked a lot of promotions.
Yeah, so AJ was an indie guy. I said Joe, Cesaro, CM Punk, Chris Hero, who is now in NXT. There's just
Daniel Bryan was an indie guy too.
Daniel Bryan,
yes, he was
the internet darling, and you know, those guys, great. They came in, they did their time, so to speak, in the independent scene, and they became big names in the industry. That's great, but also then you've got Randy Orton, Batista, John Cena, Alexa Bliss is a modern day story of what I'm about to say. Here are people that did not do time on the independent scene. They were signed to contracts simply on A, their pedigree, B, their look, and C, depending on who it was, their athleticism, and no other reason. They didn't know about their mic skills. They didn't know about their in-ring ability. All of these guys, the only one that probably had in-ring experience was Orton. Everybody else had zero in-ring experience before they got into the industry, into this business. And look what happened to John Cena. John Cena, quite honestly, is the biggest name of the last 10, 15 years in all of wrestling. But I don't think on either side, we shouldn't bemoan the indie guys, and we shouldn't bemoan the fact that Randy Orton got a WWE contract because he's the son of Bob Orton. I think both sides have a valid point. Both sides have a reason to argue, but we shouldn't be upset with one or the other. I mean, everybody got into the business differently.
That's just like how it is. It's like acting. Some.
Yeah, but I just think I think the indie guys took it to heart because of the way he said it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you see, you know me personally, right? Mm-hmm, right? And if I type something on the internet and you read it, and you know my tone of voice, you know my demeanor, oh, that's just Phil being Phil. If you didn't know me and I'm putting this stuff on social media, I may not have meant it the way I typed it, mm-hmm. but it's going to be, you know, that's how it's going to be received.
Right.
I was about to say about the acting thing. You know, if you spend hours upon hours auditioning for roles before you finally get a break, or you're discovered sitting in a stadium like Pamela Anderson, what difference does it make?
It doesn't make a difference. My point is the way Randy Orton put it, like, oh, I have to, you know, make an apology, but dives this, that, and the third. The way he said it came off a little douchebag. You know what I'm saying? Douchebaggery is what I call it.
In those instances, this is going back to what I said about Terry Taylor earlier. In those instances, you're probably better off just keeping your mouth shut.
Yeah.
What's
the point?
What are you going to upset everybody? Listen, The Miz didn't even win Tough Enough. He was the runner-up. And look, you could say all you want about The Miz, but The Miz is one of the biggest draws and one of the biggest names in the WWE right now.
The thing about Tough Enough, winning is more of a death knell for you because
it can't.
My point.
Because not one winner has gone on to be a major star, but a lot of the runner ups have.
No, but that's my point is that here's a person that was handpicked to be on a reality show and ultimately became a WWE super. It doesn't matter whether he won or lost.
But it came across as Orton like talking like he hit a home run, but
right.
Damn it, he's born on third base in the business pretty much.
He shouldn't hold that against the indie guys.
But even you know, the son and the grandson of a wrestler, you still gotta have it. I mean, look at
of course.
What you call him's son. What has he done since he's been there? Mr.
Orton ain't set the world on fire. Hell.
Orton's a 13-time champion.
If Triple H would have backed Curtis Axel, Curtis Axel could have been a third.
He's a third time. He's a third generation wrestler. And
Triple H ain't back him. Orton has Triple H in his back pocket.
But no,
he
wait a minute.
The Breakfast Club.
What about The Rock?
I'm going to defend what Surfer said here.
Everything go back to him.
Hold on. I'm going to defend what Surfer said here because here's the thing. He brings up Curtis Axel. And Curtis Axel debuted well after Randy Orton, so this has nothing to do with Orton. He came in as, you know, he was on NXT, the original incarnation of NXT, and then he was part of the Nexus, and he had that run with Paul Heyman and all that stuff. But a lot of people don't know, going way back into the history of things, okay, before there was an NXT, the NXT that we know now, there was FCW. He was the champion in FCW for a long, long, long time. I think like a period of a year. I could be wrong, but I think he was close to a year a champion in FCW. And I believe Seth Rollins is the one that defeated him for the title. But so he was handpicked to be the guy.
And they botched the angle, but they botched the angle. Though. And they botched that the wasn't his fault.
That's not his fault. So it's not that he doesn't have the pedigree or nothing like that. If they don't give him stuff to work with, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to sit on your ass backstage until they tell you, "Hey, we got something for you." The same thing. The same thing could have happened to Randy Orton. But
I don't know about that. What? Because once he got with Triple H, once Triple H got behind him,
No. But my point is,
doing nothing, well, they weren't going to screw him over.
If he didn't have the relationship with Triple H, if the same thing could have very well as happened to Randy Orton. The Rock, listen, The Rock was handpicked by Pat Patterson to be the next big star. He just got a lucky break. But there could have been a chance that Rock would have just sat on his ass and did nothing.
They didn't have nothing for him. They didn't let him be himself.
Yeah, but The Rock isn't going to go on Twitter and
bash the indies.
Exactly. And bash the indies.
Listen, I'm not gonna. I don't like the. I'll tell you right now. I don't like the Young Bucks. I've said it before, but I'm not gonna sit here and bash the Young Bucks for their track record on the indie scene and having to do what they did, going from Japan to Ring of Honor to touring around all over the country from various indie promotions, one after the next, after this. After that. I'm not going to bash them for that. That's their path. That's what works for them. That's what they do. That's how they make a living in this industry. That's what they do.
And they turned down the contract from the E.
It's like Phil said. It's like he's a third generation rich kid bashing, telling people, you know, if you work hard and do this, do that, motherfucker, you ain't did nothing.
And you know what? Phil said it. They turned down a contract for the WWE. There's a long list of indie talent that have turned down contracts from the WWE for that same reason, because they enjoy being on the indie scene. I'll give you another example.
They make more money. They have more freedom.
Exactly. I'll give you another example of somebody that I don't have an issue with a lot of indie guys, but there are a couple that they rub me the wrong way. One that rubs me the wrong way just for he can't make up his mind is Low Ki. He was in the WWE as Caval. He won one of the seasons of NXT. He won the second one. You're right. And he came in, didn't have much of a run in WWE. WWE, I guess, didn't know how they were going to utilize him. And so what did Caval or Low Ki ultimately do? He said, you know what, I'm going to take my shit and I'm going to leave. And he did. He went, and he went back to TNA, then he went back to the indie scene, and now he's back in TNA. That my issue with him is that he flip-flops way too much. He doesn't know what he wants to do. That's my
but
only...
But he had the best reply to Orton, though.
And what was that? I forgot. I forgot.
He said, come out of your WWE bubble and work the indies and see how it is.
See, that's the thing. I would love to see what would happen if Orton had to work a string of indie shows for a period of 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, you take any of these cookie cut performance center dudes and girls, and you put them on any indie scene on any coast.
Send them to TNA. TNA.
It don't matter. Send them.
That'll be a rude awakening.
Let them do an Eastern Seaboard indie run, and I guarantee you that they'll learn more in 6 weeks than they will learn 6 months working with the friggin' Norman Smiley.
It's easy for Orton to say that in WWE when you're the WWE champion. If your ass is over there in Anthem Sports, you wouldn't have nothing to say.
And I'm only playing devil's advocate because I saw all the replies to Orton. But the way Orton put it, man, just shut up.
Yeah.
Like a third generation rich kid.
Another example of somebody who decided, you know what, I'm just going to do whatever I want because I want to do, I can do whatever I want. But he, the difference with this particular person, he has the luxury to be able to do that. But look at Bully Ray. He could have very easily stayed in the WWE if he wanted to. He opted not to. And that's why he's in
Ring. He's worried in all the world, though.
But look at Cody Rhodes, man. Yeah.
Same with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes left WWE. He left the comfort of the WWE, and now he's making a very good living on the independent scene.
Japan.
All Orton knows is OVW and WWE. That's it.
That's it.
Cody's in the hottest faction in wrestling. He's getting marquee billing on every indie promotion he's in, Ring of Honor included. You know, the dude's making money hand over fist. I mean, it's ridiculous how much money he's making. Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, I remember several years ago during the AJ Styles TNA contract negotiations, that one of the sticking points was the reason why AJ didn't go back to TNA was when they lowballed his offer. That was one. And number two, he came to the realization that he can make more money just working the indie scenes than he would
in
ever
Japan.
Make than working in TNA, yeah. In Japan.
They made him, soon as he left TNA, within a year, he was the fifth or sixth Gaijin champion in Japan. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that just goes to show you what the quote-unquote indie guys can do. Listen, taking nothing away from the cookie-cutter guys, because some of those guys can actually work. Mm. But the indies is a different animal, man. It's a different animal. You know, we see a lot of guys here locally that were in WrestlePro and other promotions, and they're getting booked now at TNA. Kevin Matthews, Mario Bokara, Fala Ba, all these dudes that we watched month in and month out. Now they're in TNA. It's like I watch these guys almost every month. You know, it's
the indies is more about wrestling than sports entertainment.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's a matter of who sees you, and it's almost like a baseball scout. You know, because certain guys are there. I mean, Jarrett was in cahoots with WrestlePro for a minute.
Yeah.
So Jarrett saw all those guys, and he drafted them to Global Force, which made a difference. But, like, it just depends. It's like a baseball scout. If a certain scout sees you pitching or hitting, and you're in, you know, and he sees you more than once, he makes a reference, and that's it. You're in, you know?
Now, of course, here's the thing. There's a lot of people, okay? There's one place. There's many places where you can train to be a wrestler. But really, there's one place where you could really go to be a wrestler and hopes that you will make it big one day. And that is if you get signed to a developmental deal at the WWE Performance. I'm not putting down any wrestling school here. So if you don't get that developmental contract, regardless of whether you know the business or not, you know, whether you have experience or not, chances are it's going to be very difficult for you to get in. Case in point, I've been doing this show for 10 years. In the 10 years that I've been doing this show, I've known William probably 8 years. For the last 8 years, the only thing I heard was Athena. Athena, Athena, Athena. Athena busted her ass on the indie scene since I've been doing this show. Okay? Never did it occur to me that at some point, hey, Athena could be in the WWE, because at the time there was no women's division in the WWE. Though it was just, you know, we were going back to almost to the bra and panties era of the women's division at that time. There was no hope for her. Okay. They rebuild this women's division, and now they have to look for talent. There's a very good chance, okay, and I'm not trying to put Athena down or anything, but there's a very good chance that had Athena not busted her ass on the indie scene for all those years, there would have been, her opportunity of going to the WWE would have been slim to none. And that's just how it is.
Rip Rogers said it tonight on the Wizards, I'm going to run, but I'll leave you with this, because okay. I want to piggyback on what you said. He said, if you want to get by in the business now,
go to Japan, go to Mexico, go to Dory Funk's dojo, go up to Canada to see Lance Storm. Like, at least give yourself that kind of exposure and bring something else to the table. That's what Daniel Bryan did. You know? That's what Colt Cabana was trying to do. Guys are doing it. You have to bring a certain something. And I think the indie guys took it to heart, what Randy said. And I think they had a right to be. And it's just a matter of taste, I guess, at that point.
Well, it seemed like indie guys had more of a shot now with Triple H.
He's cherry picking everybody. Absolutely. Good point.
As opposed to Vince, who like, I want my own guys.
Exactly.
But also, you could say that that's sour grapes with Randy Orton. That, I mean, Orton got handpicked, yes, but that's sour grapes for people like, I don't know.
Colt Cabana.
For people that probably were good on the indie scene for years, maybe now are past their prime, and WWE is not going to cherry pick them now.
Right. That note, fellas, I'm gonna bounce. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on tonight.
And I will see you guys back on Friday.
All right, Phil. I'm glad you're back, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks, boys. Have a good show.
Okay, you too.
Later, man.
And that's Phil. You'll hear him on Friday. This coming Friday, they're going to talk about Spring Stampede 1997. From, I'm trying to think. That was from Biloxi, I think.
Biloxi?
Let me see. Where was that Spring Stampede? Spring Stampede 1997.
Tupelo.
It was Tupelo.
Ah, damn.
Tupelo, Mississippi. Because Uncensored in March of that year took place in Charleston.
So, Charleston, South Carolina. Yep. Damn sure did.
All right. That's the big story this week, is just the comments, people being butthurt. And I think ultimately you got to keep your mouth shut, because listen, people shouldn't be upset with how Orton got into the business, and people shouldn't be upset with working the indie scene.
Dude, you know, just find your own lane and do what you got to do.
Listen, I work at Publix, but you shouldn't be upset or put me down because you work at Whole Foods or something, you know? That type of thing.
No, Whole Foods is a step above, so no, I'm just kidding.
You know, people think that, okay, well, you work at McDonald's. I work at Five Guys.
Damn.
Yeah. You know,
well, it's better than working at Denny's.
They got the better double cheeseburger than both of them damn places.
The burgers at Denny's are better.
Hell yeah.
The burgers at Denny's are better.
Denny's is too many fights breaking out. Racism going on.
That's been going on. That's been going on for 20 years, though.
I go in there and get my double cheeseburger.
Man, what's the other restaurant that people break out in the fights in the middle of the night?
Waffle House.
I don't have one in me.
I haven't been to a Perkins in 20 years, so I don't know.
That's where Tiger Woods went to hang out.
I've been to Perkins a couple of times since they moved into the area.
I'm trying to think. Anything else news-wise, and then we'll recap Monday Night Raw real briefly.
No more Golden Truth.
There's no more Golden Truth. I thought that was I thought it was good. I thought that the turn was good. I'm trying to think of things that happened on Raw. The show was kind of flat last night, except for that Golden Truth thing. The matches were okay. I'm trying to think, though, other news. There was some other story that came out, though,
I can't remember now.
No, it's been quiet. In terms of news, it's been pretty quiet. I guess that's it for news. I guess that's it. Oh, we're gonna get. Oh, we're gonna get a Vince. We talked about the Vince McMahon movie. That's number one. Number two, it looks like after we discussed last week Power Rangers, that there's not going to be a sequel. Let's see.
What no, else. They're pulling the plug on all six of them.
They're pulling the plug on the sequels.
It's not making enough money.
It didn't make enough money. It had a very.
What is it? At least it's not the flop that King Arthur is.
It's not a flop, but it didn't make that much money.
They didn't make their money back.
They didn't. No, they made the money back, but they didn't make that much money.
That's it.
Somebody was saying that movies have to make three times their budget in order to be profitable, which means sounds ridiculous sometimes.
Not really, because look, what an average good movie makes, how much, Surfer?
Well, if it's not a blockbuster, about 50 to 75.
Okay. The average...
If you got a budget between 1 and 25 million... You don't have much to, you know. You don't have to blow it out the water. It's not like the Marvel movies where their budget is $150, $200, $200 million, so on, and they have to make a billion.
Okay, I don't think that they were expecting a $1 billion release for the Power Rangers movie, but
everybody wants a billion.
But I think they were expecting to at least make $200 million. So they can say they doubled what the movie cost, and they barely made $130 million.
And that's here or
that all, is, no, that all is, over? That is all over. That is total. So they made their money back, and they made a little bit of money. They didn't make a lot of money. And
that's why they probably rejected that in Japan.
They said that the money didn't do good in Japan or China.
One, China's hard because they weren't getting movies until recently, and China only lets in like 30 movies a year.
Well, they let this way in. It didn't make that much.
Because like the when Star Wars came out a couple years ago, it didn't do all that great in China because they had never saw the other ones.
Yeah. Here was the big story, the other big story that I wanted to talk about. We broke the news on the Facebook page on Thursday, I believe it was, that Sinclair Broadcasting, the parent company for Ring of Honor, okay, has entered a purchase agreement to purchase Tribune Broadcasting. And listen to this. The purchase includes the television networks of Antenna TV and WGN America. Why am I bringing this up? Because now it's very possible with this purchase that Ring of Honor will get a national television spotlight. Something that they did not have before.
Not since they was on
Access TV. And even
no, they, not Access, HDTV, whatever.
HDNet, it became Access TV.
HD, yeah, okay.
It became Access. But anyway.
So they're going to be on Antenna TV now?
No, they're going to be on WGN.
No, they'll be on
they'll be on WGN America. That's probably what's going to happen because here's the thing. The Access TV or HDNet, whatever you want to call it, didn't have that much clearance, and WGN has a lot of clearance. And we're talking, I believe WGN has somewhere...
Do they still show the Cubs?
They still show the Cubs. I think WGN America has somewhere in the neighborhood of like 90% clearance. 85 or 90% clearance in the country. So that's a big deal.
They show the Cubs in Chicago, and I don't show them everywhere.
No, but they show it on WGN America.
Not on mine.
They don't show Cub games on WGN on your.
Not here lately.
Oh, I don't know. Right. Anyways, because there is WGN the Superstation, and then there's WGN the TV station in Chicago, which are two entirely different things.
I guess I must be getting the Superstation on the one without baseball.
Yeah. All right. And that was No, that's it in terms of news. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, rest in peace to Powers Booth.
The who?
Passing away over the weekend.
Who?
Powers Booth.
Who the hell is that?
You never heard of Powers Booth, the actor? I don't know. I don't know who you people are. You never heard of Powers Booth.
Well, damn, we ain't as old as you.
It sounds like
he's been around. He's been acting forever.
Who the hell is? See, I'm gonna look it up so I can see who it is. Powers Booth sounds like plugging in a telephone booth.
When you see him, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let's
see. He looks like Craig T. Nelson, but no, I don't know who the hell this is.
He's played so many bad guys over the decades.
All right, well, whatever. He's dead. 71, sorry. 68, there we go, 68. My math is bad today, my God.
What movie you should have seen him in? Well, you didn't see Sin City. It was a movie back in the day he was most known for. I'm looking it up now.
He was an actor on Deadwood and, of course, Agent of the Shields. That's why Surfer's bringing it up.
No, I mean, yeah. I've been watching him for a long time now. He was in Tombstone.
Okay.
Red Dawn.
All right.
Let's see what else.
Oh, he was in that classic MacGruber. He was in The Avengers. He was in Con Air, Nixon.
What was he in Avengers?
In The Avengers.
He played like a shadowy government guy.
Gideon Malik. All right, he was let's see, Men of Honor, Con Air, Nixon. Let's see here. And then on television.
Rapid Fire.
Let me see here. What TV shows? He played a lot of. He had a lot of voice roles.
He was in Sudden Death. U-Turn. You mentioned Con Air.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie, U-Turn.
Men of Honor.
man. All right, well, he's dead.
He was one of the leaders in Tombstone.
Listen,
one of the Cowboys.
You're gonna when you come and you tell me that Whitman Mayo is dead, even though he is, I already know he is, or somebody of merit, you know.
Come on now, Powers Booth. He was a character actor. The man was a legend. I can't believe I never heard of him.
He was a legend in your eyes.
He was a legend.
No,
in your
a
eyes.
Lot of people.
Jesus. We'll mourn accordingly, Surfer, when we find out that Howard Hessman died. You know,
is he going to be at the undies?
Maybe. Howard Hessman? Why not?
Yep.
There were no black people on Head of the Class, was there?
Robin Givens.
Robin Givens. Take that back. You're right. Robin Givens. But she was the only one.
And Richard Pryor's daughter came later.
Rain.
Is that a name?
Yeah, he must have been high when he named her Rain.
She was the tough girl on Head of the Class later. Mm-hmm.
Too funny. All right, well, I guess this is that time of the show where we tell everybody what's going on here on the network. And we're going to do just that. Coming up this Thursday, brand new episode of Rant Wrestling at 9 p.m. Then on Friday, it's the Return of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with the Impact player, Mr. Philip J. Rea Choppy. Then on Sunday at 5 p.m., it's the What Are You Reading comic book show with the Silver One himself. He's going to talk about a lot of things. Then, on Sunday following that, at 7 o'clock, will be our coverage for WWE Backlash. And we're going to see if Jinder Mahal becomes the WWE champ. See, I wish it was still the WWF because it would just sound so much better to say, we're going to find out, Tony C, if on Sunday Jinder Mahal is going to be the World Wrestling Federation champion.
He would look good as the World Wrestling Federation champion. Sure would.
Now he got the promo shots already done.
So
I think he's going to win.
So we'll find out. Chicago, Illinois, hot crowd. Let me tell you.
If he don't win, we rioting.
At least Chicago's going to riot if he
if
does.
If AJ don't win, they riot.
My goodness. Then on Monday, you'll get a brand new episode of the Sports Report live at 11:15 following Monday Night Raw. That's with William Morgan. And Tony C's been on there the last couple weeks. And, you know, they've been having fun talking about sports and things like that. Then next and Hayton. And next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Right. Next Tuesday night, 7 p.m., it's the Shining Wizards live. And then this program, The Rant, at 9 p.m., and it's also live. What were you going to say, Tony C?
I said, that's right. He said, Hayton, that's right.
There you go, Surfer.
If you want some good old-fashioned Hayton, come on over.
Now, if you want to listen to the interview that the Shining Wizards had with Chris Jericho, stick around. We are going to rebroadcast the Shining Wizards from earlier tonight in its entirety as soon as we get off the air here. And that is that. Once again, bear with us as we're going through this technical transition now, because with this damn computer, moving the files over, hopefully by the weekend we'll be able to play drops and sounds and things like that. And then next week we'll be able to have our files and all of our drops back, because it just wasn't the same tonight without hitting that goddamn drop.
You know? That's right. George Washington Duke.
I mean, he's an important fixture on this show, and it just wasn't the same not being able to play that today. Anyways, so with that said, for Tony C, for Phil Rea, for Surfer, I'm Double A. We'll see you next Tuesday night for another edition of The Rant right here on Rant EM Radio. Have a good night, everybody.